All right. Thank you, Brother Binder. One of those quick, get everything done in the morning mornings, getting ready for the Shepherd's Sunday, and that's next week. Looking forward to that. That is going to be a blessing. And don't you love Shepherd Sunday? Isn't that good? This is, October is one of my favorite months. We have, of course, the Missions Conference, and then we have Shepherd Sunday always. And it's just such a blessing. But anyway, good to be back. We had a great trip to Washington State and preached a revival for a good friend near Tacoma, Washington. Let me get this thing turned on here. How many ever been that way? Several of you. Okay, good, good. And anyway, we had never been there. So they had... That worked. Okay. Maybe turn that down a little bit. Anyway, they had a record summer and with no rain in that area. They went, I think it was 70 or 80 days. I mean, it's just amazing. It's a record year of no rain, and the day we got there, it started raining. And then it didn't quit. So anyway, some of them were very thankful that we came and brought the rain. But we had a great time with Liberty Baptist Church in a little suburb of Tacoma, which is a suburb of Seattle, and just had a great time of preaching there and with some good friends of ours, and anyway, had a good trip. And then we went down, stayed down in, I can't even think of the name of it, on the coast in Washington, and crossed over the bridge into Oregon, just to say we went to Oregon. And so we were there this time yesterday morning, believe it or not, driving through Oregon to get up to Seattle to catch the plane and all that. And it's just amazing travel, how fast everything is anymore and how you can be one place and time change and all of that. And I'm very, my body is telling me it's supposed to be in bed now, but anyway, you know how that is. But anyway, it's good to be back, and here it was a great day. Last Sunday, and certainly appreciate Brother Hawkins, appreciate all the folks helping out. That's always a blessing. I never have to worry when I'm gone, never have to worry that because we have so many good people here that take care of things, and that is such a blessing. It's so refreshing to me to, you know, the pastor where I was, he said, you know, you don't seem to be concerned about what's going on. Well, part of that is I forgot what time everything was. You know, it's 3 hours difference, and you guys... You were done with church, and I'm saying, well, I better pray for our service, and it was over, you know. So it's like, well, Lord, bless what just happened, amen. But it's very confusing. But it's so good to know, you know, that everything's okay, and that everything's going to be taken care of, and the word of God's going to go forth. That's the main thing. That's why we're here, amen. So anyway, so let's go to Revelation 6. We are in lesson 17, and Brother Collins was. He had been sick for a while, and he asked me, are we still on lesson 17? And yes, we are, and we will be. But remember, we did take that brief little vacation into Daniel and went away into the 70 weeks prophecy. So we spent a little bit of time there covering that again. But anyway, lesson 17 and Revelation 6, we are on the outline now. We got on there whenever the last time we had class. And so anyway, we are in that now. So who needs lesson 17? Anyone? Raise your hand. All right, we have one here. And let's see, anybody else? One over here. So get everybody lesson 17. And we will move on. Revelation 6, 1 through 8 is our scripture to study. We are in section 4, which actually at the beginning of section 4, covering Revelation chapters 6 through 11, and that is the awful judgments of the book. We do get into much of the tribulation here, and this lesson is called the Apocalyptic Four Horsemen. You'll see these four horsemen right here, and that is really the outline of lesson number 17, the first one, of course, being I believe the Antichrist, and therefore we had to talk about that a little bit as far as the 70-week prophecy and how that all kind of lines up. And then the next event, which we believe is the rapture of the church, the snatching away, if you will, of Christian people all the Christians, and that all preceding the tribulation that will be here on this earth. And of course, the tribulation, we can't even begin to describe what that's going to be like. Our minds can't fathom how bad. I know what the Bible says is it's one thing to consider because it's what the Bible says. And yet, I don't think we can imagine how bad it's going to be. I think the thing to me that stands out the most, I remember in the 70s as a new Christian, Jack Van Ampe, how many of you listened to him years ago back in the 70s? And he just was the spokesman, I guess, for prophecy. And I remember, you know, all the things about the tribulation that he would say and everything. And I never really thought about what to me is the worst thing, and that is the Holy Spirit's influence is gone. Never thought about that until I got, became a pastor and really studied the scripture and thought through this passage that we looked at in 2 Thessalonians and how, you know, because the Christians are gone, the Holy Spirit's influence is gone. And it's, you know, without Christians, without our influence, think of the world. Again, I'm not wanting a pat on the back because of us. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit in us. And you just, you know, it just cannot be any worse than to just let man go unchecked without the Holy Spirit of God. It's just going to be awful. And so we have, you know, we'll have all the judgments that take place, but just man's own immoral way, man's own depravity is going to, it will just spread throughout the world, and it is going to be a nasty, nasty place. So, anyway, let's look at our memory verse, Revelation 6:2, and we'll go ahead and say that together. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 6:2, and I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Revelation 6:2. And again, Revelation 6:2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Revelation 6:2. Father, bless this time. Thank you so much for bringing us back safely and others who have been traveling. And we just thank you that we can be together in our church today. And I pray that your word would go forth with power in all of our classes. I pray that you would speak to our hearts here and just guide us into the truth, that which would change us, that which would make our lives what they ought to be for you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Roman numeral 1 is a deceitful diplomat, and we find that in verses 1 and 2. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And we talked about this last week, the idea that, or whenever it was, the idea 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, because we had missions conference, but the idea of Jesus has to open the seals. God's timing is always perfect. God's timing will be perfect when this all takes place. The rapture, it'll be the perfect timing. Everything is going to be perfect. And then the Antichrist will come on the scene. Now, when I say come on the scene, I mean biblically he will come on the scene. Obviously, we all have to recognize he will already be on the scene somehow, some way, when this time comes. Obviously, he will have some kind of political clout. He will have some kind of power. He will have some kind of position. We don't know what that is, but obviously, he will have influence, big influence in the world. For him to appear as he does here in verse 2. We called attention to the Roman times. A white horse is a symbol of a conqueror. We talked about the bow, but no arrow being mentioned. Again, maybe making something that is not there, but my instant thought was the threat of danger. They're the threat of war, but not necessarily war. The Bible talks in Matthew 24 about wars and rumors of wars, and so that threat of war, that idea that hey, I have this much power. You know, a lot of politics is based on power and what they, you know, what can you do to me or what can you do for me? And that is so much of politics today, whereby is a man ever really saying what they really believe? You know, you have to wonder because there is just so much clout politically and everything else. So we're living in a very political age where we're seeing this kind of stuff more and more and more. And most people are just kind of go along with it. You know, they just kind of we've become very accustomed to people being raised up, being promoted like obviously the Antichrist will be. So we later will learn in our study that the Antichrist will conquer through diplomacy, through politics. He will negotiate terms with Israel that never should take place. But he is a deceitful diplomat, and the politics of it all are very deceitful. They are very, but again, that is how it is, and we've gotten where we accept it. I'm still amazed how we let people get away with lies. You know, you kind of watch and on the national scene, you see lies, you see the spins that come out of the media, and you know, just people can say whatever they want to say, and the amazing thing is, a whole bunch of folks believe this stuff. Okay, they just follow it. It's like, well, they said it's got to be true. It's like, I'll hear people all the time, well, I saw it on the internet, it's got to be true. And people are following all that kind of stuff, and they're believing that. Then when it's proven to be a lie, it's like we can just kind of hide it. You know, honestly, it amazes me how those kinds of things can be pushed aside and everybody just kind of, well, I guess that's politics. It's just how it is, you know. Well, the Antichrist his very way is a way of deceit. He is obviously being led by the father of lies, and so we can't expect anything else. We'll get into that a little bit more in a minute. But again, we're looking at a description. So we have, you know, we have this idea of power. We have this idea of a threat. We have this idea of this promise of peace, which we'll talk about that with him. It's very, very shallow, and again, the deal that he makes with Israel, as we look at it, it should be like, come on, how could they go along with that? But they will. And well, the way they go along with that is just like the Democratic Convention here. When they said, oh, and by the way, as a last minute thing, we're for Israel. You know, oh yeah, by the way, you know, well, let's vote on it. Okay, well, let's just call it unanimous. And half the crowd's going, boo, you know. And it's like everybody's going to just buy that and oh, yeah, they really are. Oh, also, let's throw in God, too. We're for God, too, right? Boo! Okay, unanimous. It's like, okay, anyway, I got to get away from that. But the thing is, you know, that's how it's going to be. Now, watch this. And again, I'm getting into preaching and all that. And the description, again, notice the crown. Any crown was given unto him. Now there's another clue for us, all right? That crown is the word Stephanos, all right? That is not a crown like a diadema that we talked about when we talked about the Lord. This crown is the Stephanos. This is the crown like at the Olympics, that type of crown. It is not a It is not the diadem, not royalty. This is very, very important. This is not a succession kind of a kingdom. This is a kingdom that was given. It was forced. It was given. Let's say he was voted in. Okay? I mean, honestly, there is the idea here. Okay, he didn't. It's not like a king who, because he succeeded in the line of royalty, he's the king. It's not like that at all. This is a forced kind of a kingdom or leadership or whatever you want to call it here. Okay, and honestly, it could almost be like he was voted in. Voted in, or he was popular. He got the most support. Or again, there's this obvious rise, Stephanus crown, where he is the leader by choice rather than by right. Okay, he is. So when I think about that, I think again, how could so many people before someone who is actually the Antichrist? Now, folks, honestly, you know, I understand there's going to be deception. I understand the Bible says that the devil comes as an angel of light. But you start to think about that. How can he rise up so strong? Remember, there will be no Christians there. But there were Christians as he was rising. Are y'all listening to me? There were Christians there just before he comes in, you know, as it shows us biblically, just before he's on the white horse. So it just amazed me. This is the Antichrist, okay? This is someone who, okay, the word Antichrist, who is opposite, opposed to Jesus Christ. Should we be surprised at all that there's so much anti-Jesus today? Again, we thought it was bad, you know, as a new Christian. I remember things being said and some of that, and people maybe made fun of Christians back then, but it wasn't anti. We're seeing anti-Christianity. Okay, Islam is anti-Christianity. I mean, it's anti. It's you know, we'd just soon cut your head off. I'm not talking about they'd make fun of us. Making fun of is no big deal compared to anti. You know, making fun of is, that's nothing. You know, it amazes me how we will pick each other apart while Islam is surrounding us. Amen. I'm serious. It's unbelievable. It's like they laugh at us over some of the stupidity that goes on, how we'll pick at each other, you know. And I mean, they just soon cut our heads off. It just would not bother them at all. They're good at it, you know. But, you know, this Antichrist is going to rise up into this position of leadership, and he's going to rise up not because he deserves it, not because he is royalty of some kind, but because he has risen up politically. Obviously, as we study our Bibles, it is a satanically inspired rising up of power that this rider of the white horse has. There is no question it is satanically inspired. Now, you know, we might have the idea, well, it's satanically inspired, therefore it's supernatural. But it's not any more supernatural than what we are seeing take place today, right now, right before our very eyes. It is taught to children from the time they are very small in our government school systems, and it just keeps going in the teaching. By the time they are in college, by the time they go through a university, a public system, government system, By the time they go through it, do you understand they are very well indoctrinated against the things of God? Now, you know, we can argue that all we want. We can get all bent out of shape over it. Well, I know some good, and I know a lot of good people. In fact, we have a whole bunch of bus kids that are in the public school system. We love them just like anybody else, and we're gonna, you know, I'm their pastor. I've pastored more public school kids than I ever have Christian school kids. So it has nothing to do with that. I'm talking about a system. It's just like any Christian trying to defend the cosmos. That's the world system against God. You can't defend that. It is a system. It's like, how many of you got to see The Agenda on Wednesday night? All right. You know, again, that shouldn't shock anybody, and yet it's like, wow, that's kind of right in front of us. But it's been in front of us for many, many years. It's just been in our face for many, many years. And we just kind of let it all happen, and we all, you know, because we're going to put up with this, and we're going to put up with that, and we're all supposed to hold hands, and we're all supposed to be, you know, folks, listen to me. It is out to destroy what we're doing. That world system hates Christ. It always has. It's not a conspiracy, a group of conspiracy theories. It is one theory, okay, and it is anti-God, period. You can worship anything else in this world, but do not worship God. And that has been around since the devil himself. So again, when we talk about a satanically inspired thing, I'm not talking about supernatural. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about just good old-fashioned take advantage of man's wicked, vile nature. That's all it is. That's all it is. Look at this guy as his description. Daniel 7, verse 7. Go back to Daniel 7 and verse 7. Daniel 7, 7. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast. Again, that beast, if you'll remember back, is the Roman Empire, dreadful, terrible, strong exceedingly. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. And so out of this fourth beast, as we studied that, we learned that the legs, of course, of iron, east and west Rome, and then the feet became the revived Roman Empire. And this beast, you know, again, is bringing forth these end times people that are described here in Daniel. But the Antichrist here, I believe, is described by this little horn among these other horns. And you'll notice a mouth speaking great things. And so by the mouth, a lot of things have speaking. Now, again, you can say whatever you want to say. It doesn't matter. Nobody holds you accountable for it. Right? I mean, you can say anything you want to say. You can just speak, and nobody ever says, wait a minute, that's not true. And it's like the acceptance of that will be widespread all over the world, that hey, this person can say whatever they want to say. It's kind of like after our ambassador was executed. Who are we going to blame? Well, we're going to blame the little man that made a video. And everybody buys it. Everybody gets all bent up. Put him in jail! Throw him in jail! Wait a minute, did that fella have anything to do with our ambassador getting executed? Now, again, I don't want to get into politics, folks, because that's what all that stuff is. But here's what I want you to see. I want you to see the widespread acceptance of garbage. Widespread I mean, people just kind of, and now, you know, now that it's all been proven, nobody cares. Well, we know it was the video. And we know it was an American. It's America's fault. Come on. You can tell I'm somewhat outraged about it. 2 Thessalonians 2, but here's why I'm the most outraged, because we just can't go along with it. Doesn't that bother you a little bit? 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3, here's the Antichrist again. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. We talked about that recently. The son of perdition. Not a good description there. And who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, again, you notice here the mouth, the promotion of himself, the promotion and the exaltation of himself and what all he has done, what all he will do. I again submit to you that he will do, he will develop his record, if you will, while you and I say you and I, because I think the rapture's soon, okay, so I can't say that. But while Christians are on this earth, the rapture has not taken place. He will develop his record. He will get his record. He will do his achievements. He will impress people. Okay? He will have a following while we're still here. I say we. While Christians are still on the earth. Okay? That is... Now, you say, well, now wait a minute here. I thought the Holy Spirit's restraining. But just keep in mind, the Holy Spirit is restraining. And without him, it's going to be tribulation. But just keep in mind, God gives man choice. Ultimately, we Christians are going to make a lot of bad choices. Not all, just many. Amen? Amen. Why are morals have just continued to go down. Continue to go down. I mean, I was in Seattle and you know, big cities, you just always see it first in big cities. It's just weird. I mean, the immorality is one thing, but the weirdness is another thing. Open homosexuality, you know, it's just bold in front of you. And there's folks right now, I just now said that, and you kind of cringe, like, are you allowed to say, listen to me, we are always going to preach the truth. It's not, you know, that's not a question. But the fact that we all sort of bristled a little bit and got, you know, kind of looked around, isn't that sad? It's just, that's the day we live in. We saw. I think we were at the airport or something. There, and there was a commercial, a great big commercial, and a couple was testifying. They were speaking, and they said, "This is some vote in Washington to allow homosexuals to be married to each other." And this man and woman said, "Oh, we have our family, and they have their family, and we all get along." And Debbie and Kathy are just wonderful parents to these children, and it's like, wow. And see, I just now said that, and some of you thought, preacher, you better be careful. You're going to, yeah, I know. Hate speech, right? They're going to vote on that in Washington State because people say, well, I got to get away from this. What time is it? We need ushers. You come. We need to take up an offering. I got to get away from stuff like that. It just irritates me. But again, the whole thing. How did that happen? Here's how it happened right here. Right here. Look. Mouth. Talking, teaching, indoctrinating. Huh? Billy has two moms indoctrinating from first grade up. Right? Johnny has two dads. That's how it starts right there. You know, it's planting the seed in the minds, and we have generations now, several generations that have heard that stuff. They've heard it over and over and over and over and over. Man is the measure of all things. Why do you think it's so hard to get somebody to the place of saying, I know I'm a sinner? I mean, if you could just chart it out over the years of soul winning, of how many people, you know, you have to talk to before somebody will finally say, yes, I know I'm a sinner. Because people just, they don't get it. It's, well, sin is murder. You know, yeah, I've never murdered anybody. And lying is okay. Stealing is okay. Anyway, I gotta look. So I gotta finish this section. Also, not only is this mouth going and this schmoozing going on and all of that, lying is going on. But Daniel talked about in Daniel 7, talked about the three horns being plucked up. We'll talk about that later on a little bit more so. But there obviously is going to be a military presence and a military power, and maybe spies or whatever, because three out of the 10 horns, which seem to represent leaders, three of them are going to be wiped out somehow. Now again, everybody has their own little speculation and all that kind of stuff, but three of them fall. Three of them go down. That's leaders. Now, will that be a big war? I don't think so. I think they'll be assassinated. We have all that kind of stuff going on in our world today. All the time. And I think it'll be just a nice little quiet thing. Who knows? Maybe they were a little bit against this kind of thing. Maybe they're not so satanic as some of the others. Maybe they're not, who knows? You know, but it's very easy to remove opposition. Yeah. Well, Herodias, you know, just very easy. King, I want his head chopped off. It's pretty easy. I mean, it's happening all the time. I mean, come on, we can Islam can assassinate one of our ambassadors, and so quickly back in America, instead of Americans being outraged over it, we're blaming the man with his video camera who made a video in a land that says we have free speech. And so who are we listening to? Well, we're listening to their laws, not our laws. Oh, if I had more time. You know, folks, honestly, I didn't get very far, did I? It's too bad. Listen, you say, okay, well, what are we, but all this is going to build up. It all builds up while Christians are here. Don't think this is just going to be some big change all of a sudden, and the Antichrist is going to poof, be here, and everybody's going to say, oh, Antichrist, Antichrist. It didn't like that. Listen to me. This guy he's a deceitful diplomat, but the deceit is today. The deceit is today. It is happening now. It is happening. You know what? Let me close with this. This is powerful. I'm going to say this several times, and I'm telling you, it's us. Okay, it's you when you believe gossip. Somebody say amen. I feel like we've turned Methodist while I was gone. Listen to me. That's okay. What is the biggest media right now? Well, you know, USA Today. No, you know what? It's Facebook. That's bigger than the news media. It's just people say this, pass it on. It's called, you know, we are a gossip mongering people. Honestly, and the thing is, we just believe everything. Well, so-and-so said it. It's got to be true. It's sad because that's going to be the destruction. I can see it. I mean, honestly, we say, well, you know, that leader said this and it's not true. But then we go listen to people in at work and they say things that aren't true. We don't check it out. We don't try to find out. We just get bent out of shape over it. And it wasn't true. Hello. And you know what? It's in church. Because we do the very same thing. You know what the Bible calls it? Itching ears. Yeah. And you know, it's our carnal nature. And we can be nice, clean-cut Christian people, and yet we have itching ears. And we get just as involved and just as, you know. And the truth of the matter is, there are, honestly, if Jesus Christ walked into church, enough gossip would have him crucified by the average church. Father, please forgive us. God, help us to demand the truth, to always, 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 always go back to our Bibles, the truth. And I pray that you will save our nation. God, we know the rapture will take place. We know the tribulation will come. But God, we don't know when that's going to be. And so please help us to do our part. Help us to not accept these kinds of things. It ought not be. Please help us to demand the truth. And I pray that you'll bless now our morning service, that your will be done. You'll speak to our hearts in Jesus' name.